Welcome to another Aftermath episode of The Horrible Show Live, where we keep the microphones going after the show is over and talk with our chat audience and see where the conversation goes.
Ethan, it looks like you're broadcasting from a cave.
You're, I basically am.
I had to
change my light because my fucking cat keeps jumping up and mewing. Like, I don't know what the sound even is. It's not a meow. It's something entirely different. And so if I put the light like this, she jumps up on the microphone. So I have to put it this way because she likes to be in the spotlight.
Ugh. Diva cat. So chat, what major game choices did we leave out? We hit some different games than I expected. I can't believe I honestly, heading in this, didn't even consider the Fallout series, which is really hilarious, as open as that game actually was. And why do you have a bunch of extensions?
These must have been in these shorts for a long time.
That's uncomfortable for me.
No, I've washed them. Okay. I wonder if these are still good. Yeah, these are just connectors.
Ooh. Oh, so the other thing we didn't really touch on, and maybe we revisit this on a follow-up episode, but I was... The other side to all this choice was open-world games. Stemming from my experiences with Assassin's Creed 3, which I feel is comprised of four very good games, but there is not a great cohesive game in there. They do. They give you the... set up this world, this period piece of a world that has a lot of interesting things to do and a lot of interesting characters to meet, but there's real no motivation to seek them out unless you're just a completionist, but none of them feel connected. And I feel like this game is now, this franchise has been hampered by trying to take on too much.
That has to be a product of their development process, right?
So many different teams. Like, you literally can feel it.
Where was Jade Raymond to keep everyone together?
Yeah, this was the naval team. This was the... I feel really, really bad for the team that was the Homestead team. You need to develop a town and all of these interesting characters with all of these little bits of drama in their lives that, for some reason... this assassin is going to fix and, help set up marriages. And
I think we talked about this on another show, but, like, I don't have time for that shit. I haven't even played the game yet, but I'm just saying, like, I don't have time. This is not the kind of game where I want to do that stuff.
And neither does he. That's the other, like...
the character, he just doesn't give a fuck?
At one point, I did probably five or six Homestead missions that took me 2 hours in-game, and took place over the course of 6 or 7 days based on, the transitions in the story. But at the same time, I knew there was this dude that I had just finished a major storyline mission with that was just waiting for me on the docks in Boston so we could board this ship to go catch this guy. That was, it was very time-sensitive. But I'm out here just, fucking around helping people hunt wolves, and
they all have that problem. All those open world games
solve their civil disagreement with their neighbor.
What about
but see, it would suck if it was like Dead Rising where they had a time limit. That was the one game that I always go back
that
to.
Stressing me out so hard.
I think about these games where it's like, oh, there's like time constraint. Like, no, this is not realistic. And then I think about how pissed off Dead Rising made me because I love the game. Great game, but that time limit was just stifling. It was just stifling.
They just need,
but it does throw you out. There's no happy medium. Like, you can't win.
Yeah. Somebody
you
else.
Can't
well,
win
no,
with
but
that.
I think
like,
there
you
is.
You can't create that perfect game.
No, I think when you've got the pressing mission, make everything else disappear off of your objectives list. Just all that, and you have to go do the main thing. Just go do the main thing. And then bring you back in and give you, if you're going to have a timer, let it be the timer that counts down to whenever the next big mission is going to appear. And then okay, so now you got fuck off time. Now you're going to have to make the fuck off stuff fun to play. You're going to have to, make that entertaining. You're going to have to want to skin, goats or whatever.
I'm confident that a developer that was not Capcom took it on that they could find a way to make it more entertaining.
And it doesn't have to be like... you don't want to, if somebody doesn't like the side mission stuff and you force it on them, obviously that's going to be an issue. So there's, they have to work that out too. But I'm just saying, like, if you're going to put that really important time sensitive thing, even if it doesn't have a timer on it, but I feel like in a real situation, it would be time sensitive. Like, oh, these people are hostage, or these guys are going to go do this thing, blow up this thing, kill these people, whatever. I'm going to go do that thing because that sounds like probably the top of that priority list. I don't need to be going like collecting wolf pelts and shit. Like, I need to go save the world.
I just don't want it forced on me. Like, it can't like affect the storyline too much because, you know, like when I play a game like fuck off time versus main plot line, like I look at Skyrim, I'm like, I'm always trying to get the main plot line done, but I never do it because something pops up. But, like a fucking rabbit runs in front of me. Like, I should hunt that rabbit. Like, I don't need to. There's no reason to. And that leads me to another mission. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know how you do that with, like, making everybody happy. That's flowers. Why I think that leaving it open works because, again, that's going to make most people happy. And then you just, you know, force your own timelines on yourselves. But it is weird. And, I mean, looking at the Assassin's Creed 3 reviews, because I think that is the Assassin's Creed game I want to jump into. But I look at it, I'm like, what am I playing? Like, what is it? Like, what game is this? Like, I see all the assassination stuff. But there's all this other, like, huge, like, all these other different things into it. And I'm like, man, that seems confusing, like too
much. It's definitely not confusing. It just never feel, none of the side stuff feels like has any weight.
Can you just ignore it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah,
I can't ignore that shit. I'm horrible ignoring that kind of stuff. Like, you know, like this is a guy that collects all the weapons in Skyrim, even though it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. You just throw them away, like sell them. It doesn't, like, you get a better weapon, you're fine. But in that game, I keep them all held to one side. I do all the little stupid side missions. Like, I'm almost like Justin when Justin said, you know, like he jumps into some of those open world sandbox games and there's just too much going on. Like, if you offer me a mission, regardless of whether or not it makes any sense, you know, even if I'm playing Assassin's Creed 3 and you have a time travel mission where I have to save the president from 2025, I'm going to do that mission. You know, like, I'm just going to, because I don't know what it is, man. I feel like I feel guilty not doing that shit.
I think Skyrim.
It kills me. I never finish those games.
Skyrim did one of the best jobs of making some of the side missions feel like just as important as the main ones. Like, there are times where my main mission would be, it just wouldn't sound that pressing. But then I would have like three other ones that were like, man, this sounds like, you know, this sounds pretty cool. I'm going to go do those. And I didn't ever feel really pressured to do that next thing, which left me free to just wander and pick up flowers. But yes, there are a lot of games have that issue. And I think that's like, why do they all do the games the same way? Like, why doesn't somebody look at that as an issue and go, you know what sucks? The way we're doing this, and then do something different. Like, those seem like the easiest ways to innovate a little bit, to change up, you know, that process. I think
Assassin's Creed's like an no win situation from here on out, unfortunately. Like, it's just,
well, yeah.
Because they can't just do the same thing. They could take a couple years off, but if it was just what I was doing in Brotherhood, which I think is the best game in the series. I think it's the best game in the series, but I really am interested in the world of Assassin's Creed 3 the most at this point. But they've had to tack on all this stuff, and now they can't bring it all back together, and none of it seems important, because at the same time, you can't, like you guys said, you can't make that stuff important. It's gotta be optional.
What game did they decide to start throwing all that stuff in?
I mean, it started happening in Brotherhood. That's when they added the ability to recruit new assassins, and you build up, basically, you build up your Brotherhood, and then Revelations, I didn't play it, but they added like tower defense type stuff, and Assassin's Creed 2, you started taking care of your homestead or whatever it was called in that game, and you actually had to like put money towards, you know, improving the blacksmith and the shops in the town and building the defenses of the town, and there was purpose to generating money, but that was really the only thing you were building up. And then two, you're recruiting people, and then three, they're like, well, Revelations, they're trying to figure out what can you do with all these people. And I don't know. Like, the goddamn, does the naval stuff look amazing in Assassin's Creed 3.
Pirates Creed.
But what the fuck is it doing in there? Like, I still... Even a reflection of that time period, like, it, you still don't need to throw it in. Like, it doesn't fit at all, and I don't understand, like, he's spending months out at sea while all this other, like, every time you take a naval mission, like, it'll jump ahead or back 1 or 2 years. Like, it's all over the place from, like, 1774 to 1779. Like, you just, it's hard to, like, play things
and to me,
in a linear order, too. It's weird.
Well, and those, like, I like powerful characters, you know, but, like, you know, games like that, you almost feel good about just, you're an assassin, you're really good at what you're doing, but you're not going to be able to take whole militaries on yourself. You're not going to be able to jump from this to that and that. And, like, to have naval combat, to me, is like, what? Like, yeah. Is that your, it's, like, I'm a really good assassin, but I'm a really fucking good ship captain,
like,
too.
No, like, it's no, just, you're, and good you're at maintaining one or the other. Farm. You are,
like,
one
I knew
or
good
the
farming,
other.
You know? It's like Prototype. I can't get past Prototype because I'm too powerful. I'm too tough. I don't want to be that tough. I want to have weakness.
Take your hood off.
I want to have inherent weakness. I want to have to stick to it, you know? I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
every time your claws grow out, you get a hangnail. And you have to go to, like, a hospital or a veterinarian.
On
and
address.
Like, going back to the whole guilty thing, like, every time I eat somebody that is nice, I should get, like, a real bad tummy ache and have to go and, like, sit in an alley for a while until, like, I digest it, you know? I don't know. Like, something like that. I don't know.
I do want to address, Verdian plays a lot of Guild Wars 2, and he kind of brought up the dynamic events in those games. And while those are really enjoyable to play, and, like, was a lot of reason I stuck with that game when I... above other MMOs when I was starting to play that game, that there's no gravity to the end result of those dynamic events. Sure, there's, like, a cool boss or a cool moment at the very end, but then it also gets recycled and you get to see it again if you come back at a random different time. And it's fun to do along the way, but I do think that if those dynamic events could actually change your character or change the world around you in impactful ways. Like, they could start to relate to another way to introduce, like, choice, especially if it would be also a good way to handle side missions. Like, if it just happens completely independently of what your main storyline is, those are kind of fun, short diversions that don't get you lost in the way that, like, the side quests in Skyrim can do. Like, well, you'll just head down, like, the complete opposite side of the map from where you started out, which, you know, it's a good, which is a good and bad thing.
Okay, to go back, there was a point you made on the show about confining those choices in a smaller space.
Yes,
and the, you know, the usually the problem with that is, like, and the idea of the concept. Go ahead.
I was gonna say it's the strength of Dishonored and BioShock, like, both.
Yeah, yeah, okay. But and then we were also talking about this the choose your own adventure problem of, like, you know, or once you get to the end, you don't want to, like, redo everything. But, like, what if, I mean, have there been any games that have combined those two, like Groundhog Day style, you know, where you got a ton of choice, but, like, and when you fail,
Majora's Mask,
you don't. Yeah, but does it have, well, but you're not failing necessarily, right? Or does it, is that how that plays?
I think you just get to retry it, basically.
Hmm.
I didn't play enough of it, too, because I was like, this is different. I'm done.
Yeah. It's just been a really long time since I played that
I'm
one.
Confused. I thought I was playing a Legend of Zelda game that had a very strict template.
But, you know,
that moon's scary.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's the only thing I remember from that game, really. It seems to me like there could be something done with a replayable, short, really open to, like, many, many choices kind of game where you just get, or you redo it quickly. Like, boom, boom, you hit it.
The thing about those restricted areas is that it limits the open world jank that we just accept in games like Assassin's Creed and Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead Redemption. Mm-hmm. Just the weird, random shit that happens. Because it's more confined, things can be more tightly scripted, but still feel still feel a little bit more free. And I think, you know, that there's probably more promise in the open world genre for impactful choices than necessarily kind of the RPG route that Mass Effect took. And that's kind of what I started realizing with, like, the fact... I hate the fact that it was incorporated at all in Black Ops 2. Like, I know that's not the restricted, but the fact that the choice was actually taking place in a more linear type of game.
They're just branches, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, they may have done something really interesting. Subtle branches, with, yeah. And I'm just, but I think it's laid an interesting new blueprint that, you know, a more seasoned developer with like strong narrative experience could build off of.
Well, if they're not planning on continuing that storyline with those characters, like Cole was saying earlier, like that would have been easy for them to do. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, let's make some branches because we don't care how it ends for the player because there won't be a canon version because there won't be a sequel. If there's no sequel, you don't need to end up at the same point.
That's always the funny part too. And I kind of commend Infamous for handling it this way where, yeah, there are two different endings of this game, and then they make an Infamous 2, and they said, this was the ending that was the right one, or right. This is the one that we chose, and I'm glad they didn't get into the trap of, oh shit, now we're going to have to accomplish.
They could have had, if they could have had the two endings, both be canon, if in Infamous 2 at the very beginning you said, were you the good guy or the bad guy? And then you just continue the bad guy storyline. Or you continue the good guy storyline, but they don't do that. It's like, oh, you'd be somewhere in between. Like, no, you're not. No one's in between. That's silly. I don't know. I want to play Groundhog Day, the game, the movie, the game.
Be a good soundtrack.
I mean, I don't want that storyline. I want it to be like a, you know, maybe it's a murder mystery thing or something. I don't know. I feel like that's it's kind of a obvious one, you know, people are always just getting boners over like, oh, our game has real moral choices in it, or is you really care?
Have they? But I think that I feel like that stopped this year, honestly. When's the last time?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we just named a whole bunch of stuff that was that's out this year.
Moral, like,
well, I mean,
the Dishonored that's really downplayed.
Well, that's more. Yeah, but they're okay. Not necessarily moral, but just like that. You play it however you want to play it. Like in the broader sense, choice in the broader sense, as we discussed it on the show.
Oh yeah, that's not going. That hasn't really.
I mean, that's like one of those things.
There might be more of that.
Where it's just like, you know, hey, you can, you know, like, they're trying to non-linearity is what everyone seems to really think like they have to have, and I'm okay with like an Uncharted, you know, like that's cool to me. If it's a good story, yeah. I don't really give a shit if it was me that affected the outcome. Like, if it's just a good story, it's a good story, and I'm okay with that. I think Ethan's maybe the same way. Yeah.
Yes. No, sorry. I got distracted.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm so torn with this because sometimes I hate being, like, held by the hand. Like, I almost, if I want to watch a movie, I want to watch a movie, but then with these games that do try to attempt it, it's like, it doesn't even come close, you know? I don't know.
What? So you don't like Uncharted?
No, sometimes, I think sometimes he likes Uncharted and sometimes he wants a Skyrim.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you
Yeah, I mean, that's like, a great thing about games. Like you have Uncharted, the choice of what to put in your machine. Sometimes it frustrates the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it depends on what day of the week.
Yeah, that's all about mood, and that's a great, I mean, that shouldn't have anything
to do
with it.
But that's where also, I wish they would be more upfront with what their game is, and that's kind of the other side of what people are really upset about. Well, there are two camps to what they're really upset about with Mass Effect 3, but I think the bigger, broader like disappointment was that we were promised something much more epic and much in.
That's only the end. That's the only part of the game that really didn't live up to that for me.
Yeah,
I didn't expect them to for and again I'll go back to, if you played this game you know what I'm talking about, but if not I'll try to make this kind of simple. So you had in the first two games ton of choices would affect NPCs living and dying, you know, whole civilizations living and dying, and your own party or potential party members living and dying. And it was really all about that. It was the character life and death. But there's so many different things. Like, you know, you can like, you can save an entire species or several of them. And, you know, by the end of Mass Effect 3, but you have all these storylines that are, they keep like branching off and like, what happened to this guy? What happened to these people? Where did this species go or whatever? And then in 3, they wrap up every single one of those. As far as I can remember, I had no questions at the end,
Saw the checklist.
Right, right. And I thought it was really satisfying because I was really invested.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get to the very end of the game and nothing matters.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really pick one of 3 doors.
Yeah.
And it is, it is really, really, really stupid. And that part of the game I was really disappointed with. But the rest of it, I was so satisfied. And like as a whole, it's like the whole across the 3 games, it's like you got to say like, well, I'm satisfied with, you know, with like 95% of this franchise, like it was awesome to me, and not everybody liked it, sure, but you know, the story stuff, you may not like the action and stuff in 1, and I didn't, that's okay, but the story shit, like I think most people really enjoyed that.
Verdian makes an interesting point. First he said, I was lucky, I guess, that I didn't play Mass Effect 1 or 2, and I assumed that he meant he didn't play Mass Effect 3.
But he plays 3, yeah.
Because I was going to say, if you missed Mass Effect 2, you missed one of the greatest games of this generation.
Yeah, 2 was awesome.
I wonder how Mass Effect 3 feels if it's the only one you played.
Yeah, that I can't imagine. I can't picture it because I...
Ethan, you want to be that guy? Tell us how that goes.
He's muted himself.
I might as well be. I haven't even gotten through. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the reporter lady was kind of weird for everyone, dude. That you didn't have to play 1 and 2. She just appeared and was weird. That was Jessica Chobot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was a creepy recreation of her.
But the reporter that Cole punched and I punched shows up in Mass Effect 3 too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. So, but yeah, I'm assuming
he's talking about the
one. Yeah, the Chobo stuff. And I
so odd looking.
I was like, did she get to approve her character model?
Everything was weird and
all. That's not flattering.
Everything was weird and droopy on her. It was just like really like, wow, this is.
Where was her choice?
Yeah, right. Yeah, they put an intern on that character model, I think.
Oh, drag.
So yeah, I don't know. I wasn't really disappointed by anything except the ending, which was a huge disappointment. But so, as a whole,
Stepping away from this maybe a little bit, but what other trends did you notice in 2012? I was just kind of surprised that I heard a recent conversation about it, and I was like, yeah, that like it's kind of bookended now with Mass Effect 3 and then Walking Dead kind of wrapping up here recently.
But other kinds of trends?
Yeah, just like, what do you think?
Everything's roguelike. Roguelikes everywhere you turn.
Like, what are we going to talk
roguelikes,
about?
Roguelikes.
About the games of 2012. Roguelikes are, they're expanding.
Because I think people have figured out like, hey, there's some kind of cool features of roguelikes, which are really, it's not like they're all, you know, play like NetHack, but just those like bits. Zombie U's got it, you know?
Yeah.
Like the big third party launch title for the Wii U.
What other big games? I mean, I notice like definitely be more pervasive in the indie games, and the indie games are obviously getting more attention this year, but
maybe the Dark Souls series has some of those elements, and that's probably the other biggest one. But yeah, tons of indie games and those like bigger indie games.
What do you think you'll notice about 2012, Ethan? Put you on the spot.
I mean, overall,
yeah, just in general.
I'm trying to think back.
Zombie games, survival games.
I think 2012 was a much better year than 2011. That's kind of. I think that the Epic release fall has been just shattered, just smashed. But I think that there's a lot of games that just did pretty good, but nothing that was exceptional this year. I think I had a lot of really high expectations. I think a lot of games met my expectations, but nothing blew me away.
I think like this was full of solid releases and little greatness. Because I would say last year's mega release fall was much better than how this year turned out.
I don't know. We're gonna. I think we're gonna have some
this year. Like I think.
No, I think we're going to have realizations here in 2 weeks when we sit down and talk about this stuff. If you look at the list, I think we should look at the list from last year and then the list from this year and compare the two of just like nominees kind of game of the year stuff. And I think you guys might see like, you cannot understate just like how good and important like a new XCOM is.
Sure.
And the fact that it came out on consoles as well and is the same game and like is really, really good and Dishonored. You know, is fresh and awesome. And like, you know, if you look at games like, if you're going to judge it by, you know, something like Most Wanted or Assassin's Creed 3, you could say like, well, you know, sequels and meh, but I think there are some solid ones. And I want to say too, I think maybe this was another good, really good year for the PC.
I think it's
stellar PC year.
Yeah.
And you know, we have like at the end of last year, it was like, you know, the Old Republic was launching. It was like, oh, here, and then that just really tanked. But this year, at the end of the year, we've got like PlanetSide 2 just launched and no one's really talking about it too much. But that is a fantastic game. That is an amazing game. And if you're, I know not everybody has a gaming PC that listens to the shows, but if you do, you really, really need to play it. It's free, and it is the biggest, most like epic multiplayer shooter that's ever come out. And it is an experience that you have to play it. You have to try it, because I think that is one of those games that it's not going to get its due on people's, you know, game of the year lists and all that kind of stuff. I think it's going to get passed over because it's
free to play and right at the end of the year.
Yeah. It's got a whole bunch of stuff going against it. So many people didn't know about the first one. Oh. And yeah, I think that's really, I think it's an important game. And I hope you guys play it. You
got to make Warrior Online fan in chat.
Yeah. And that's
Year of the Mech did not.
That's coming. Okay, so that
did not happen like I expected.
Well, they're not out yet.
Right, exactly.
So that's part of it. Yeah, but MechWarrior Online, I think, is really awesome too. That hasn't officially launched yet. But then Hawken as well, and we have got to sit down and play that. It's pretty cool. It's fun. It's way different, and I think that's going to be something that, you know, it's like, look, all these free, awesome PC games. Like, no, we've never had this before.
Yeah.
Like crazy quality titles that you don't have to pay for.
Really curious to see what succeeds, what falls on its face. Like, there's just a flood of quality free to play games that I'm interested in playing, and I haven't been able to say that for a while. I also do want to give a nod to Verdian's comment. Look, yeah, zombie games continue to be big this year, and different style of zombie games that led into also, I think we'll remember the survival games. I think DayZ and WarZ are kind of important. I think bigger things will come of that, just from my limited exposure to those games, but I think it's a really interesting genre, especially just from the social aspect of watching how people are playing these games. And
I think that style of game can blow up. I think that could get really big. Like if that was free, if say DayZ came out and it was free to play and it was polished enough to so that the interaction bits and, you know, the goal, social right? stuff was, I don't know. I mean,
their actual release of DayZ that they're working on, the standalone.
I didn't know that was going to be free.
I'm pretty sure it's free to play.
Oh, well, then that could be a big deal. I think WarZ is cool. I think that needs some more time to cook before it's where I would suggest other people play it. You know, like, I think because there's one thing that really sucks about this beta stuff and the paid beta thing, which that's another trend. That's a...
Yep. Yep,
we should put that down too. We can thank Mojang for that, starting that one, and that wasn't that recent, but everyone else is doing it now. The paid beta, was that this year where Project Zomboid that terrible debacle happened, or is that last year?
I think it was at the end of last
what
year.
What happened? Okay. I think that was last year. Still, what happened to that game?
That's still working on it, but they went dark because they really screwed up. Yeah. People paid for that, and then... Yeah. And then they lost, they got their apartment broken into and laptops were stolen, like a couple of them. And they did not have any backups, offsite backups of anything. And so they basically got set back like 6 months of development time or something like that. And then they were dicks about it online. And that was a terrible situation. And, So it's like, it's for some, it's not worked out, but, it was a Wolffire's doing it. The MechWarrior Online guys are doing it. War Z guys are doing it. PlanetSide did it. I know there's more of the indie games that I'm not thinking of that have done it as well. And then Kickstarter kind of has to go in there as well, because a lot of those games, the Kickstarter backers are going to get the game early as in beta version, but paying for games before it's released, like, I don't suggest that anybody that has, that doesn't have a shit ton of free time to play games do that, because you're going to end up not seeing the best version of the game. You're going to form an opinion. And then even when the game comes out and it's better, you're still going to have a taste in your mouth from the first time you experienced it. Mm-hmm. And, I know, like, when I play MechWarrior Online now, it's like way better than when it first, I mean, I've been playing that for like, it feels like 6 months, right? I mean, I was playing that before. When was I playing that? Because I mean, I couldn't. There was an NDA, but it was
before I left. So yeah, it had been about 6 months ago.
Yeah. So that one was like, that was rough, and I played. You know, it's still, you know, I played it because I really like MechWarrior, but that was tough because now I play it and it's in and it's good and it's fun, but I've already had a bunch of experiences with it, and maybe this says more about, like, you know, you only are going to play a game so much before you're tired of that game in general. But, like, you want to spend your, if you're going to only ever play a game for 10 hours and then get bored with it, make it like a good 10 hours. Don't let it waste it on a beta, especially if you buy into it. And it's even more, especially if it's going to come out and be free. You don't, like, MechWarrior Online, to get into the beta, you had to buy the Founders package and you got stuff for it. It's not like you just got nothing. It wasn't just like a, you know, donations, but that was a, you know, situation where, you know, I would not, I don't know if I did this, but in hindsight, I would tell just even friends, like, you know what, this is really awesome, or it's going to be awesome, but don't buy it yet. You know, wait, just because, like, I think that happens with a lot of people with a lot of these games. So we were just talking about, paid betas and how you should wait. don't do that.
Soapbox.
Enough people are going to.
I think you need to get the word out. So
yeah,
because you like, at first you're the only person I knew that was riled up about it. I was like, we should all kind of be riled up about it.
Yeah.
One of my trends, especially the end of this year, is just kind of these expansion pack sequels that have been totally competent games, but I've lost my interest in them. It's kind of my story of Borderlands 2. It's like, yep, that is definitely Borderlands, and I can't really, like, find fault in it, but it's just...
It depends on where you're coming from, you know? Like, Borderlands 2, I think, for somebody who hadn't played...
Sure.
Like, if you just played Borderlands 1 at launch, and you didn't play any other shit, like, I think it'd been longer since I'd played it than I think most of you guys.
And if you hadn't dumped 100 hours into Borderlands 1.
Right, and I didn't. Right, right. And so, Borderlands 2, I think, is one of the better games of the year. I think it's one of the most solid products that's been out there. It's like, it's fun, it's super polished, there's a ton of stuff to it. Like, I think that is and it's awesome co-op. Like, I think, and it's got trucks that you can ramp.
That's the only reason.
Turbo trucks.
I kind of package Borderlands to Assassin's Creed 3 and Halo 4 as just more of the same formula and with varying degrees of success. Hmm. And all three games that I wanted to change it up originally, like heading into this year, like even at E3, I'm like trying to find the nuggets and say, hey, they're gonna take a right turn here. And it's gonna be better for it. Or honestly, I was kind of worried.
I think Halo 4 is that more of the same with extra polish. And Borderlands 2, yes, it is. But I think it's also it's a bigger step up in, like, every aspect of the game is way more interesting this time around. Like, I think it is. Yes, it's a sequel, but it's not a yearly franchise thing. I think you're selling Borderlands 2 short. Maybe not the others, but that one in particular, I think.
Hey, dudes. I'm going to peace out.
All right, man.
See you then.
I just realized what time it was. Sorry.
You're fine.
Talk to you later.
Later, man.
But maybe 2012, year of the truck. Or year of the rediscovery of the truck.
Yeah.
So... maybe we'll take that take that as a break here and get set up for our Wii U gaming. Sound like a plan?
Yeah, that works.